snake pasture. Yeah, I actually lived in Marengo, and I lived in the same house. But actually, I was the same month that I was born. And, of course, moved away a little bit after we were married and built a new home. And after my dad passed away, and a little too much for mom to handle, so we decided to move back. So our roots go pretty deep. And we started here at the church in 1998. And I don't know, 22, 24 years, I guess. And Mr. Hathaway, Don Hathaway, was going to church with him. And he recommended this church. And he said, this is a church for you and Debbie and the boys. And so we came, and I remember Bob was here, and the Gossmans, and the Rays, and as far as I know, that's about the only ones that was here when we came. And I think Scott came about the same time I did, maybe a little later. But anyway, I have to mention Vaughn Robinson as well. A lot of men that I'm kind of leading up to the moment of Simeon here. People that you respect. And I respected these people that I mentioned tonight very much. And I have to include Vaughn and maybe some others. But when you live a lifestyle as a godly person, it does shine. And I'll always respect you people here tonight. And I thank you. We're living that type of life where we was attracted to you. But anyway, kind of brings me up to the point about Simeon. We're going to take the passage tonight here in Luke 2, and we'll be reading from 25 to 35. But before we do that, we mentioned about giving gifts. So tonight, I kind of want you to imagine, or look ahead, maybe Christmas Day. You're sitting around probably the tree or something there, and your family's with you, and everybody's exchanging gifts. And that's what we do at our home, usually Christmas Eve, and have the family over, and we exchange gifts and have a good time, laughing and getting the kids on your nerves, but that comes to territory. Then my wife, she kind of pats me on the hand and tells me go outside or something. So, but anyway, it's cherished. And I'll tell you what, you know, I stumbled across a fact tonight when I was studying, and I just stumbled across it, what we're thankful for, and a gift. It's a gift of life. And I came across this fact. But do you realize tonight as we speak, there is more living people than people has a total that has died? And it made me think. And the guy said, that sounds strange. But he said, that's the truth. More people in the world right now that's alive than has died. And he said it's not even close. And so anyway, we have that gift of life. And as we speak tonight, we're here. We're together. We're alive. And for the most part, we're healthy. Some of us are battling colds, but we're vertical. But anyway, that gift of life that we have. And I mentioned it in my Thanksgiving testimony that, you know, every Thanksgiving I think of our family who's here this year and that wasn't here last year. And we lost one. But so each year you're thankful. But anyway, tonight we know that the greatest gift of all was God gave us His Son. And we know that clear out through the Bible, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, it is the gospel. And each and every word of God points to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest gift. And you can go through different verses. You know, John 3:16 is a familiar verse. God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son. And whoso believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then also, you know, I wrote down, you know, like 1 John 4:9, He showed us His love, that He gave us His only begotten Son. And, of course, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our gift from God. Among other things that I mentioned, you know, like life, like health, peace, discomfort. And we live in a country that God has given us as a gift. We didn't deserve it. And as troublesome we do run into on certain things of our country and certain people, it's still the greatest country in the world. And God gave us that gift. And God gave us that gift of being born here. God gave us the gift of being a citizen. And also, we live in our homes now, a gift from God. We come to this church, which is a gift from God. We are in comfort tonight because of the gift from God. We're able to have heat. We're able to have electricity, water, food. That's all gifts from God. And but the biggest gift is that He came, gave us His Son that became a human. So He could walk this earth for 30-some years, be tempted like we are, and for us to follow Him. And I'd like to share a story. And Christmas is another time where I mentioned about being around the family at Christmas time. And it's popular to give out stories like whatever that Christmas story is when Santa Claus comes and we've got a mouse in the house or something like that. But we don't do that. We do Luke 2. But there's another, you know, there's other stories. And I'd like to share one with you tonight. And I don't know, you guys have probably already heard it. I hadn't heard it. I did a couple years ago. But it's called the Christmas Geese Story. Has anybody heard that? If not, bear with me because some others might not. It's called the Christmas Geese Story. And it's an illustration, it's an analogy of what, of why Jesus came to earth. And I think it's a great explanation that makes Jesus' incarnation easier to understand. Now, we understand it as being born again Christians. We don't have no problem. But try to get that point across to somebody else, sometimes that can be a task. Which this man here that I'll tell you about. There once was a man who didn't believe in God and didn't hesitate to let others know how he felt about religion and religious holidays like Christmas. Now, his wife did. She believed, and she had her kids raised in faith in God and Jesus, despite his disparaging comments. Then on a snowy Christmas Eve, his wife was taking their children to a Christmas Eve service. And it was in a farm community in which they lived. She asked her husband to come, but he refused, as usual, and he said the Christmas story is nonsense. Why would God lower Himself to come to earth as a man? That's ridiculous. She and the children went, and he stayed home. Now that night the wind began to blow and the snow turned into a blizzard. As the man looked out the window, all he could see was a blinding snowstorm. He sat down before the fireplace to relax. Suddenly, there was a loud thump, something that hit the window. Then a second thump, and he looked out, but he couldn't see more than a few feet because of the blinding snow. And when the storm let up a little, he ventured out to see what could have been beating on his window. In the field near the house was a flock of wild geese. Apparently, they were flying south when they were caught in the middle of this storm, and they had to stop. They were lost. They were stranded on this farm without food or without shelter. Flapping their wings, they aimlessly flew around the field in low circles. Some had apparently flown into his window. The man felt concerned for the geese, and he wanted to help them. The barn would be a great place for them to stay, he thought. It was warm and safe. And they would be saved if they spent the night there waiting out the storm. He opened the doors wide, and then he watched and waited, hoping they would notice the open barn and enter. But the geese just fluttered around aimlessly and didn't seem to notice the barn or realize what it could mean for them. The man tried to get their attention by waving a lantern, but that just seemed to scare them. They moved further away. He went into the house, brought some bread and broke it, made a trail leading to the barn. Didn't work. Now he's getting frustrated. He got behind them, and he tried to shoo them in the barn, but they only became frightened and scattered and went everywhere. Now, nothing he could do to get them in the barn safe. So why don't they follow me, puzzled? Can't they see this is the only place where they can survive? He thought for a moment and realized that they just wouldn't follow a human. If only I were a goose, then I could save them. Excuse me. Commercial. I got a bad cold. I kept thinking there when I was reading this. Can I finish this story? But anyway, if only I were a goose, then I could save them. Suddenly, he had an idea. He went into the barn and got one of his own geese and carried it in his arms, and he circled around the flock of the wild geese. When he released his goose, it flew through the flock and straight into the safety of the barn. One by one, the other geese followed it safely. He stood silently for a moment as the words he had spoken a few minutes earlier replayed loudly in his mind. If only I were a goose, then I could save them. Then he thought about what he said to his wife earlier. Why would God want to be like us? That's ridiculous. Suddenly, it made sense. That is what God has done. We were like the geese, blind, lost, perishing. God had his son become like us so he could show us the way and save us. That's the meaning of Christmas. And he realized that. And as the winds and the blinding snow died down, his soul became quiet that night. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. It's a wonderful illustration about the greatest gift that mankind has received. And that happened over 2,000 years ago. And God became flesh. So, in saying that, I'd like to read a little bit here about Simeon, the gift that God has given Mary and Joseph to take as a custom of the law, and to present Jesus into the temple. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. His name was just and devout, and the same in waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. We can picture this man, Simeon, probably an elderly gentleman. And he was just, devout. To be probably a man of God or a person of God, you need both of these qualities. A just person is how you handle people. A devout person is your devotion to God. You can't have one without the other. You've got to have them both. And as people, and I mentioned the men and the women tonight when we first came, our first impression was just and devout. That made us interested in this church. And same with Simeon here. This was his character. This was his reputation. He was a man of God. And this same man, as they say here in 25, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And what that is, that they were waiting for the Messiah. We know it was troubled times then with the Romans and so forth, and a lot of persecution going on. And they were waiting for the Messiah to come in as a political leader, take care of things. And he was patiently waiting, and he had the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost was going to tell him, as we're going to find out here in the next verse here, it was revealed to him by the Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that he's not going to see death till he sees God's anointed one, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he knew he wasn't going to depart yet. So he had faith in God, and that was a present or a gift from Simeon to God. His faith. He knew he was not going to depart from this earth till he seen the Savior. And a lot like us today. Now, we might pass away before the coming of Christ. But we live a life of faith, knowing that someday we will see Jesus face to face. That's a gift that we can give, as Simeon has here, being faithful. That's a gift from Simeon to God of being a man of character, of being just and devout. That's a gift to God from Simeon that he's an ambassador for God. Same with us. But the Spirit of God was upon him, and what a gift that would have been. What a gift. Now, he served God in the temple. He probably did the minor things as well, you know, sweeping and so forth. Maybe did some priestly duties. But he served the Lord and he served people. That's another gift that Simeon had passed up to God. But he had that gracious promise that he would not pass until the time he would see the Savior. Then in verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. The Holy Spirit guided him. And he obeyed. He followed him. Might seem like something that, you just shrug it off, like he's just going to go ahead and do it. But you know, a lot of times God tells us, and we refuse. But strict obedience, and that's a gift that God gave him, and he returned. Obedience to the Holy Spirit. So he went into the temple. Then the parents came in and brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. He's already had his circumcision. Now he's going to be presented for holiness. And then Simeon took him up in his arms. And he blessed God and said, but he blessed God. How do you bless God when he has everything? You bless him by giving him praise. You bless him by giving him thanks. He blessed him for fulfilling his word. He thanked him there. So he took Jesus in his arms. And you know, if he was Simeon at that particular time, he knew that wasn't just any baby. He knew that was the Lord's Savior. And you know, just humanly speaking, he might have squeezed that baby just a little bit more than normal. Just out of love. Just out of being precious. That's the Messiah. So I don't know how they did it, but he held the baby to be presented, and maybe other times maybe he would hand it to the parents and the father would do it or so. But he did it. He held on to Jesus. And he blessed God. And then he said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." If you look back up there on verse 26, according to thy word, that was his word. The Holy Spirit told him he would not depart until he seen the Savior. And now Simeon is saying, okay, this you can allow me to depart now. You can take me, and I'll go in peace. Gosh, you know, that's like us as well. If it comes time to pass, you know, a lot of times, you know, we don't have that choice how we're going to go. But if we're on our deathbed, well, we know we're going to pass. Is that our courage? Is that our faith that I can go now? I can depart in peace because I have the faith knowing Jesus Christ will see me face to face. Maybe our loved ones, will they let us go knowing that face to face? We have to have that faith. And it all comes back from the present from God, love. Love and faith and our devotion to God. And that's what Simeon's showing here. Quite a testimony. And there in verse 30 he says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He has seen the Savior, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Verse 31. And 32, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel." Now here, again, his eyes have seen the Savior before the face of all the people. And if you go back to Isaiah there, it states that even the Gentiles, and we see that in verse 32, "A light to lighten the Gentiles in the glory of the people of Israel." Here again, Simeon is showing another. No gift is too small. So when we sit around on a Christmas tree and your grandkids give you a picture or kids give you a picture, no, that means a lot. And same way here, these things that Simeon has given God, just like he knew the Scripture, he knew the prophets, he knew by what Isaiah said that the Messiah is going to be the Savior of the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. And that's what he says here in verse 32. He's a light. And a light can penetrate darkness. Light has penetrated darkness since Jesus came. It's just like, you know, you could turn the lights off here and it'd be pitch dark. So you couldn't see anything. And you walk over there and turn that light on, just one light, we're all going to automatically look at that light. And that's the same way with Christ. He's came to this world, and he's the light of everybody. And also the glory of the people of Israel. You know, he's came here, us Gentiles here tonight, we're allowed that salvation. And the glory of thy people of Israel, and, you know, they're still his people. And they're still the ones that through the tribe of Israel there, than where Jesus came from. They're responsible for the commandments, the word, and so forth like that. And then Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And then Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and a sign which shall be spoken against. Now we pretty much know, with our hindsight, we know what he means by here. Child is set for a fall and a rising again. He came to save, the world, but also through this is the fall of many. And you can look back to the even at the time there when Jesus was on earth, how much resistance that he was up against. And then also even the you know, the Pharisees there, and they beat him, and then also the questioning that he was under, the mental strain. He couldn't say anything without being questioned, and they tried to trick him. But also what they were doing, well, they was revealing their own heart. And probably one of the things that Jesus would say about somebody that you wouldn't want him to say about us individually, you're a hypocrite. And that cut through the heart. And that's what angered, kind of a dot in the I and crossing the T. And then when they tried to trick him into saying he was God and so forth like that, that was their so-called rule that they could put somebody to death for that. So then he looked at Mary. And this has got to be, and she knew. She knew what was ahead. Maybe not specifically. But as a mother, you know, this little child. Simeon said, "Yes, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also." That may be thoughts of many hearts may reveal. For a mother, that was still her son. That was her blood. You know. And she knew pretty much the future. She knew the scripture probably as well as she could. But you know, we always say we shouldn't bury one of our children. And some of us has experienced it. Thank God I haven't. But my mom did. She buried two kids. And I could see the agony of my mom. And that sword pierced her heart. And this is what happened to Mary. And then we seen there at the cross that when Jesus gave his mother over to John to take care of, there had to be great suffering. So anyway, that's the passage tonight. And you know, the Simeon's gifts we mentioned. And time allowed it, which I don't. I had the gifts of what we should give. But it's pretty much in line with what Simeon had gave as well. But our greatest gift, which will continue on for the weeks ahead, and even up to the day of Christmas, and even throughout, is the birth of our Savior. So, just close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time we've had together to go over your word through this passage, Lord, after Jesus was born. This man, Simeon, a man of great character, a man that you have chosen to present this baby and to realize that he is our Savior. Lord, we just pray now as we go through this Christmas season that our hearts and our minds will be up on the reason for this season is the birth of Christ. And Lord, as we're busy about getting presents for others, which is good, Lord, just help us remember our Savior. Again, Lord, we just thank you for everybody here tonight, and we just pray now that you'll be with us as we head home and give us safety. And we pray now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's take our hymnals now and turn to number 96, As With Gladness, Men of Old. And so we can think about Simeon as we sing about those men of old. He was one of them, along with others. But let's stand and sing as we close, As With Gladness, Men of Old.